When the Cougars assembled for their first practice, Big Mouth and Wiley were there to cover it. We ran a large front-page photo of four players, two white and two black, and another of the coaching staff, which included a black assistant. Big Mouth wrote columns about the team and its players and prospects, and this was only the first week of practice. We covered the opening of school, including interviews with students, teachers, and administrators, and our slant was openly positive. In truth, Clanton had little of the racial unrest that was common throughout the Deep South when schools opened that August. The Times did big stories about the cheerleaders, the band, the junior high teams, everything we could possibly think of, and every story had several photos. I don't know how many kids failed to make the pages of our paper, but there weren't many. The first football game was an annual family brawl against Caraway, a much smaller town that had a much better coach. I sat with Harry Rex and we screamed until we were hoarse. The game was a sellout and the crowd was mostly white. But those white folks who had been so adamantly opposed to accepting black students were suddenly transformed that Friday night. In the first quarter of the first game, a star was born when Ricky Patterson, a pint-sized black kid who could fly, ran 80 yards the first time he touched the ball. The second time he went 45, and from then on, whenever they tossed it to him, the entire crowd stood and yelled. 6 weeks after the desegregation order hit the town, I saw narrow-minded, intolerant rednecks screaming like maniacs and bouncing up and down whenever Ricky got the ball. Clanton won 34-30 in a cliffhanger, and our coverage of the game was shameless. The entire front page was nothing but football. We immediately initiated a Player of the Week with a $100 scholarship award that went into some vague fund that took us months to figure out. Ricky was our first honoree, and so that required yet another interview with another photo. When Clanton won its first four games, the Times was there to stir up the frenzy. Our circulation reached 5,500. One very hot day in early September, I was strolling around the square going from my office to the bank. I was wearing my usual garb, faded jeans, rumpled cotton button-down shirt with rolled-up sleeves, loafers, no socks. I was then 24 years old, and because I owned a business, I was slowly turning my thoughts away from college and toward a career. Very slowly. I had long hair and still dressed like a student. I generally gave little thought to what I wore or what image I portrayed. This lack of concern was not shared by all. Mr. Mitlow grabbed me on the sidewalk and shoved me into his small haberdashery. "I've been waiting for you," he said with a thick accent, one of the few in Clanton. He was a Hungarian and had some colorful history of escaping from Europe while leaving behind a child or two. He was on my list of human interest stories to pursue as soon as football season was over. "Look at you," he sneered as I stood just inside his door by a rack of belts. But he was smiling, and with foreigners it's easy to dismiss their bluntness due to translation problems. I sort of looked at myself. What exactly was the problem? Evidently, there were many. "You are a professional," he informed me. "A very important man in this town, and you are dressed like a, well..." He scratched his bearded chin as he searched for the proper insult. I tried to help. "A student?" "No," he said, wagging an index finger back and forth as if no student had ever looked that bad. He gave up on the put-down and continued the lecture. "You are unique. How many people own a newspaper? You are educated, which is rare around here, and from up north. You are young, but you shouldn't look so immature. We must work on your image." We went to work. Not that I had a choice. He advertised heavily in the Times, so I certainly couldn't tell him to take a hike. Plus, he made sense. The student days were gone. The revolution was over. I had escaped Vietnam and the 60s and college, and though I wasn't ready to settle down to a wife and parenthood, I was beginning to feel my age. "You must wear suits," he decided as we went through racks of clothes. Mitlow had been known to walk up to the president of a bank and in a crowd comment on a faulty shirt and suit combo or a drab tie. He and Harry Rex didn't get along at all.